Some rather fancy guitar playing, I would say. That's John Renborn. First, let me tell you, we began the set with Sharon Shannon, as I mentioned, with her Queen of the West reel from an album on Philo Records, simply called Sharon Shannon. And then we went to this John Renborn vinyl. You may have heard a couple of scratches on there, but it's in pretty good shape. The album is called The Hermit, for a composition by John, but what we heard was the first cut on side two of this excellent album, which is called Three Pieces by O'Carolan. John's notes on these tunes are much more concise and informative than anything I could say, so I'd like to just read from the back of the album a certain amount. for those who are familiar with Irish music, please bear with me because I'm going to speak now in an elementary tone to people for whom Irish music is something different or strange or unknown. Three pieces by O'Carolan. Turlough O'Carolan lived from 1670 to 1738. The blind harpist and poet occupies a unique position in the history of Irish music. He's thought of as being the last of the Irish bards, and during his lifetime he was held in high regard for the quality of his compositions and also feared for the sharpness of his tongue. He was renowned for his love of good whiskey, which is the theme and inspiration of a number of his finest works. After his death, brought about by a period of enforced abstinence, his skull is said to have been preserved by the country people and used as a drinking vessel for a cure for epilepsy. I was at O'Carolan's grave. I paid my respects nearly 20 years ago now, just a few months shy of the 20-year anniversary of that. It didn't say anything about the skull on his tombstone or in any of the information near there, but I find it a fascinating story. And, of course, his fondness for drink was well known. Of the three tunes that you heard, the first was The Lamentation of Owen Roe O'Neill. And Renbourn says here, "The lament for the dead is a very old and important class of Irish music. This piece is in honor of General Owen Roe O'Neill, who led the Irish against Cromwell and was the hero of the victory of Benburb. His death in 1649 laid Ireland open to the Cromwellian settlement." The second piece, Lord Inchiquin, the subject of this piece is probably the fourth Earl of Inchiquin, who succeeded to the title in 1719 and lived in County Clare in the west of Ireland. And the third piece, the final piece, was Mrs. Power, also known as O'Carolan's Concerto. This is one of O'Carolan's best-known compositions. It comes from a time when Italian composers were enjoying much favor in the great houses of Ireland and is said to have been composed spontaneously by O'Carolan in a contest of musical skills with the violinist Geminiani when they were both guests of the Irish nobleman Lord Mayo. Well, I think, as I said, very concise and informative storytelling there by John Renbourn. And other things that I've read along the field really support that interpretation, that contests, not so much of athletic skill, that was sort of folded into war in those days, but contests between bards, poets, singers, and other artisans and artists was a big part of the entertainment of the time. Remember, no movies or TV, no phonograph recordings, no CDs. Storytelling, instrumental playing, and singing were very important because, you know what, in the wintertime in the Celtic countries, nights are very long. In the so you need to have a great store of entertaining activities to keep from, around here we call it cabin fever. Well, we'll move on to some more music. We've had the accordion and we've had the guitar. Let's see, what other instruments are well known in Ireland? Oh, yes. How about the fiddle? We've got a new album in the GNU bin here at KGNU. It's called the Celtic Fiddle Festival. Well, actually, the name of the group is the Celtic Fiddle Festival, and the album is called Storm in a Teapot. The players are Christian Lemaitre on fiddle. He's from Brittany. Charlie McCarron, also on fiddle. He's from Scotland. Kevin Burke, who is well-known in these parts, he, of course, plays fiddle and is from Ireland. And Nicolas Kemener, plays guitar. He is from Brittany, as is Christian Lemaitre. So some representation from many of the Celtic lands on this album. Again, the group is called Celtic Fiddle Festival. And we're going to hear a traditional tune, two traditional tunes, a medley called, the first is Cairngorm Mountain. The Cairngorm Mountains are in the eastern highlands of Scotland. and Kohler's Hornpipe, which from the famous Kohler collection, published in the late 1800s. So here's the Celtic Fiddle Festival.
I was born in a small fishing village on the eastern coast of Dublin called Howth, which in Irish is Ben Ader, which means Hill of the Oaks. And as I explained to one of my MCs, what I would do of any given weekend would be to go on walks with my dad or with my mum and my three siblings. And we would walk up to the top of our road, through the alleyway, through the woods, over the golf course to the castle. Because everyone has one of those. Or you'd walk down to the harbour, around to the beach, or up the mountain, or whatever you were in the mood for. And as you walked, you might find the old dolmen, the megalithic tomb. And you'd tell the story of Aideen's grave, of Fionn McCool's grandson, Oscar, who went off to war and someone sent a false message back that said he was dead and his wife, so bereft and heartbroken, killed herself. Or maybe you'd wander down and you'd hear about the woman in white who walked at night. Or maybe, if you were lucky, when you walked across to the castle, you would remember Grace O'Malley, Grania Whale, the pirate queen of Mayo. Now, Mayo is as far away from Dublin as you can get if you're traveling east to west. It's a good 3.5 hours away, right? Which the other side of the island. That's far too far away. How does she end up with two streets named after her and a story? Well, you see, the pirate queen of Mayo, Grania Whale, Grace O'Malley, she made her way over to England to parley with the queen. Grania Whale was so self-assured and so confident and so herself, this pirate queen, that when her husband and her son were imprisoned, she went to the Queen of England and she presented herself there. And the queen saw her. And they conversed in Latin. Because, you see, we didn't speak English, most of us. We mostly spoke Irish, Latin, and Greek. So they had to adapt and speak to us in our heathen tongue of Latin. So they had a parley, and the queen freed her husband and her son. And she was allowed to go. Apparently, she was given a handkerchief by the queen, and seeing this lovely piece of cloth, she used it for what it seemed to be good for. Which is considered a great insult. And she got on her ship. Well, when she set sail across the Irish Sea, there was a great storm. And her ship was wrecked on the rocks of Howth Harbour, my village. And this is back in the 1500s. Now, in those days, there was a law of hospitality. One wanted you to be hospitable by nature, but there was also a law in place, just in case you forgot. So the local landlord had to always leave the gates open on the castle. And there had to always be an extra place set for dinner, just in case a good friend would drop by. So Grace O'Malley, Grania Whale, she got off the ship. The remnants of it, the little boards that were smattered, and she climbed up the rocks and she made her way up through the village, down along the path towards the castle gates. Well, the gates were locked. Bad sign. But she's a pirate queen, so she just scrambled over them. Went up the rest of the road up to the castle, which is really nothing more than a great house. You know, didn't have all the turrets and whatnot. Made her way up to the door and a butler answered it. Yes. And she said, "Dear Gwitch, my boat got wrecked on the rocks there, so I couldn't help but notice the great house. You must have a place set for dinner. I'll skip the dinner. Just give me my bed and you can give me breakfast in the morning." And the butler said, "Oh, I don't know. I shall have to check with the lord of the house to see if he's in, if there's any room for you. We have a lot of guests." And he went away. And he was only stalling. He didn't even go and talk to the Lord. He simply came back a few minutes later to tell her there was no room. Only when he got there, she was gone. And he was delighted not to have to deal with such riffraff. But as he went to close the door, it got stuck. And he looked, and there was a dagger stuck into the door with a little piece of paper and a note which said, "I have taken your most prized possession. I will return it in a year and a day if you obey the laws of hospitality, leave your gate open, and always set an extra place for dinner." And the butler removed the dagger and he searched the house. He counted all of the candlesticks and the mirrors and the paintings and all the gold and the silver and even the cutlery, and everything was there. So it was an idle threat. It wasn't until the family got up the next morning and the oldest son didn't come down for breakfast that they realized what she had taken. They sent word out, but they couldn't find her. And she kept the son of that great house with her for a year and a day. For a year and a day, she trained him to be a pirate. And finally, she came back to Howth, to my little village. And when she got there, the gates were wide open. And she rode up on the horse. And the son was on a horse. And when they got to the house, he was made welcome. And they showed her. There was the great table. And there was the extra place. And when I heard the story 450 years later, the gates are still open. And they say, if you go there, there's still an extra place at the dinner table.
Shoal to Gael is made possible by you, the KGNU listener member, and by the Celtic Connection. The Celtic Connection is a monthly newspaper for all people with an interest in Celtic news, music, language, culture, and tradition. For subscription information, visit CelticConnection.com or call 303-777-0502.
Well, that was Claire Maureen Murphy. Murphy, yeah, right? Ms. Murphy. Yes, Murphy, with the song The Pirate Queen of Mayo. It's not actually the one I meant to play. I was going to play The Changeling, but that'll have to wait for another time. She's a fantastic Irish storyteller. And now, mentioning the Celtic Connection, one of the many wonderful things about the Celtic Connection is the entertainment and events guide compiled by Roger Hara. He exhaustively digs up every Celtic event that's going to happen and prints it for you and for me at this particular moment. We've got the month of March here, and I don't have April up yet, but there are still 2 days in March after tonight, in fact. And if you're in the Colorado Springs area, there's a lot to know about. The tomorrow night, Cole Cannon, one of the West's finest Celtic ensembles, let's just put it that way. They'll be giving a free concert in Colorado Springs at the Catherine Moorman Theater, M-O-H-R-M-A-N, formerly Armstrong Hall in Colorado Springs. It's a free concert because the tab has been picked up by the music department of Colorado College. So it's probably the theater on the Colorado College campus, but you could check it all out online for sure. The concert begins at 7:30, they'll have a new CD out to show you as well. So great opportunity to see if you're anywhere south of here. Great opportunity to see Cole Cannon. Also appearing tomorrow night and also Friday night will be the band The Bedlam Boys. Tomorrow night they're at Beer Works Brewery, B-I-E-R Works Brewery in Woodland Park at 7 o'clock. And on Friday they're at Kinfolks in Manitou Springs from 8 to 11 p.m. That's about all that remains in March for concert material. And as I said, I haven't got the April listings yet, but there's something to see in Celtic land most every night up and down the Front Range. Oh, yeah. Well, we're still going on through. We've had the fiddle. The fiddle came to us in the last medley before that wonderful story by Claire Maureen Murphy. Let's go with another song or another sound. And this is something that I always associated before I knew much about it, and this is something I always associated with the music of Ireland, this particular sound.
Thank you.
That's Bonnie Carroll, Boulder County artist, longtime, and queen of many, many styles on the hammered dulcimer, and for that matter, also on the Appalachian dulcimer, from an album she did 20 years ago, or actually maybe more than that, the medley The Swedish Maiden and Farewell to Erin on the hammered dulcimer, known in Ireland as the timpan, at least to some people. And in fact, the tune we heard before that one was The Chieftains from their album number 5, which starts, a vinyl side that starts with The Timpan Reel, played by Derek Bell. But then we heard the following tune from that. I'm not even going to try the Irish pronunciation, but The Goose and Bright Love was the medley we heard there that began with the Illan Pipes, played by Paddy Maloney, the founder of The Chieftains. We may get to some earlier work of his later, but the program is more than half over. We'll see where we go. You are listening to Sholta Gale, and we'll be on until 8 o'clock, at which time Musica Mundi will come on up. We've heard lots of different instrumental styles and sounds. Let's go for a vocal. I mentioned that Cole Cannon is appearing in Colorado Springs tomorrow night, Thursday evening at 7:30. Let's hear Mick Bolger with a song that's almost timely, April.
The radio hums softly as the morning kettle sighs. The silver print of morning under golden skies. The radio says April we'll have more than normal rain. The sweet showers of April here again. Oh, the sweet showers of April are welcome when they're new. They bring sunshine, lilacs and memories of you. There are daffodils in City Park, they shiver in the rain. The lilac blossoms scatter, the east wind blows again. Turn your collar to the wind, shelter by the wall. As the wind blows through the winter trees and April showers fall. Oh, April can be cold, April can be cruel, April can be the heart of a fool. Streets of nighttime, as the evening gathers in, the quiet creeps along the streets. The lights are low and dim. Standing in a dirty doorway, with a shoulder to the frame, smoke a quiet cigarette and watch the April rain. But the promise of April is a promise ever new, of sunshine and lilacs and memories of you.
Well, Well, they tell me at home that some people told me one time that we play the tin whistle with more concertina playing than playing a tin whistle. So my brother, Lortimerson, was a great concertina player, and my mother used to play, God rest their souls. So this would be tunes that I got from a man that was living next door to me. He used to play like this, some lovely way of playing a reel called the Mason's Apron, and another old reel. It is different. I don't know what name is in this other reel. It is more of concertina style of playing.
Thank you. Now, that's a bagpipe. For the farmers, we heard Joe Shannon and Johnny McGreevy, the very names scream Irishness, with the medley Speed the Plough and Duke of Leinster. Speed the Plough, yes, it's planting time, although it would seem to be early in a lot of years. This year, the ground is warm, my goodness. We started that set with Colcannon and April. It's about to happen, and who knows what it may bring. We followed that with Ireland's whistling ambassador from County Clare, Michael Russell. And from him, a little bit of speaking in that lovely West Coast brogue. And then we heard The Mason's Apron and Canaim. A couple of reels, The Mason's Apron, of course. Quite a famous fiddle showpiece. You're listening to Shulte Gael for almost another quarter hour, and I'm not going to do anything but bring you more music for it. The Celtic lands include the country of Wales, wherein is spoken the Welsh language, which is the original British language. Not Breton, exactly, but was the language spoken in Britain before the Saxons arrived in the 4th century A.D. And they have traditions, many of which overlap with the traditions of Ireland and Scotland, the Isle of Man and Brittany, but they also have certain ways that are uniquely and distinctly Welsh. Among them is large male choral singing, which happens in other Celtic countries, but nowhere to the extent that it's lionized and passionately embraced by the Welsh. Another, if the fiddle and bagpipe are closely associated with Ireland and Scotland, I would say the instrument most closely associated with Wales, both in terms of players and also in terms of famous repair shops, is the harp. We're going to hear a leading Welsh harpist, or harper, Robin Hugh Bowen, and that Hugh is spelled H-U-W because it's Welsh. And he's going to play the triple harp, a quite good-sized Celtic harp. Many Celtic harps are lap or tabletop size, but this one does sit on the floor and three cascades of strings. So here's Robin Hugh Bowen with a tune just for, wait a minute, which one did I have I selected here? Okay, this may take just a little bit of explanation. There's a term in Welsh called hiraeth, H-I-R-A-E-T-H, and it refers to, it's related to longing for the homeland. It's a kind of, for the homeland, the family, the community, the sights, smells, and sounds of one's homeland, hiraeth. And that's the first tune to be heard here, and then following that, more for the weather we have the last couple of days than for today, the gray window pane. Here's Robin Hugh Bowen on the Welsh triple harp. Thank you.
blows the wind frae north to south. The drift is driving fairly. The sheep are cowering in the hill. Who serves its winter sairly? Up in the morning snow for me, up in the morning early, when all the hills are covered with snow, I'm sure that it's winter sairly. Loud roars the blast among the woods, and turtles the branches barely. When hill and goose hear how it floods, the frost is nipping sairly. Up in the morning snow for me, up in the morning early, when all the hills are covered with snow, I am sure that it's winter sailing. Sun peeps out yon Southland hills like ony timorous carly. Just blinks a wee then sinks again, and that we find severely. Up in the morning snow for me, up in the morning early, when all the hills are covered with snow, I am sure that it's winter sailing. Ailment is lout on hedge nor bush, poor things they suffer sairly. In cold drive quarters o' the night, or day they feed but sparely. Up in the morning snow for me, up in the morning early, when all the hills are covered with snow, I am sure that it's winter sairly. A cozy house and a canty wife, I keep a body cheerly. And pantry stowed we meat and drink, the answer punctually. Up in the morning snow for me, up in the morning early, when all the hills are covered with snow, I am sure that it's winter sailing. Up in the morning snow for me, up in the morning early, when all the hills are covered with snow, I am sure that it's winter sailing.
You've been listening for the past hour to Seolta Gael, music of the Gaelic peoples, countries, and traditions. Right now you're hearing Sean O'Riordan on his favorite harpsichord, which he played with Kailtori Cualan, and they'll come in just about now. It's included Paddy Maloney and some other members of the early versions of the Chieftains. The Rights of Man is what we're hearing here, but just before that, we were listening to Robin Hugh Bowen, the Tannehill Weavers, from their album The Arnish Light. We heard, not The Arnish Light, we heard, oh yeah, Up in the Mornin's No For Me. And I send that one out to myself and to the man I met on the phone this evening, Rick, who loves the Irish music. And Up in the Mornin's No For Me, or for a lot of the Irish, I think. You're listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. It's time now for Musica Mundi with your host. Okay, it's a Persian New Year's special. Wow, with your host, Sarah Shirazi. So we'll just, George is going to take over the board, and thanks for listening.
شام زاجه